Matt Bubala in for Justin Kaufman here on Radio 720 WGN. As we mentioned, Justin's filling in tomorrow morning for Steve Cochran, so you'll hear him there tomorrow morning. Joining us in studio right now is Dr. Willie Wilson. There was a great story at DNAinfo.com today by Sam Chalky talking about Dr. Willie Wilson and that he wants to bail out 100 people for Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming in, Dr. Wilson. I appreciate seeing you.
Thank you for having us.
So the story goes on DNAinfo.com that a lot of people end up in jail because, you know, they get arrested for whatever. But if it's a minor crime or a nonviolent crime, sometimes they don't have $100 or $200 to make bail. And so it says in the story that some people end up waiting for their court date for a couple of years in jail because they can't afford a couple hundred dollars bail. Or alternatively, also, if you make bail, you need to tell them where you're going to be. They want to, you know, you have a court date coming up. They need to know exactly where you're going. So if you were homeless at the time or don't have friends or family members or home to say, here's where I'll be, then they won't release you either, correct?
Well, from my understanding, this here, and I started this whole situation because I came up poor, you know, and I had two sons that spent time in Cook County Jail. When they came out, they was different.
Changed
real rough, like, all right. So one of my kids in jail, he's still alive, but one of them got killed to drugs, and so I'm very sensitive to those type of situations. So I figured, look, maybe I can help save somebody without going in there, get them out right quick, for misdemeanor only,
right,
and then get them out. So what we did, we went last week and we gotten out a couple weeks ago, we gotten out a few people. Thanksgiving Day, we raised $100,000. I put $50,000 of my own money in it, and we're gonna try to get out over 100 or 200 people for Thanksgiving Day,
which is which sounds wonderful and sounds noble. So when and you've been speaking with Sheriff Dart about identifying the types of people in jail that would be a good fit for this program?
That's correct. We worked with Sheriff Dart. We met with him on yesterday, matter of fact. And his staff, Dr. Smith, they gave us a list. We go through them. We look for the ones that were light crime, nonviolent crime.
What type of crimes are we talking about that would be a nonviolent crime that maybe would fit this?
Well, somebody might have been sleeping in somebody's property. Somebody might have been went to the store hungry, stealing some bread or something like that. Somebody might have been on the corner. Maybe they might have had an ounce of marijuana or anything like that, right? Those type of situation there. Or somebody didn't pay the parking ticket.
Right.
You know, so that doesn't deserve for them to be in that for 6 months or a year or longer.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, but they don't have $100 to get out. And what we did the other day when we got the people out, didn't have money to get out, but we paid some $500, $1,000, $200, $150 to get them out.
Okay.
But afterward, we gave them each $200 a piece so they could have some type of money.
Yeah, so they're not possibly going right back to committing a crime because now I'm back on the street and I don't have money and I don't have food and and I'm desperate.
Right, but we also met yesterday with about 50 pastors, ministers of different churches in the area. Now, understand, it's not just a African-American situation. We bail out white, black, Spanish, Indian, Asian, et cetera. We're not looking at color or anything like that, although the majority of them in there is, you know, minority.
Right.
You know, but we get out both. It doesn't matter. I'm looking at this from a human being.
Sure.
You know, and so we're going to continue to do it. It's not just a one-time deal, not just a Thanksgiving situation. We're going to put a line item in our profit and loss statement. Each month, we'll add to that. If they get in jail and they make a court date, if they make the court date, we get 90% of that money come back.
Right.
But we won't take it. We'll just add to it, recycle
put
it back
in the fund.
In the funds. Right.
And how much concern do you have over that? I know that you're seeing kind of who they are and learning a little bit about the crime that they committed. But the one downfall, the one way I could see this going badly for you is somebody, you help them make bond and then they commit another crime or a crime that ends up being violent or something like that. So I know it's more than just get them out of jail. You're giving them a little money, trying to help them not only if they need a place to stay, have a place to stay, get a job or get into a GED program, right?
That's correct. But see, I believe that everybody deserves a second chance.
Sure.
Yeah. These are lightweight, nonviolent you know, crime.
Right.
Now, none of it can control human type of situation.
Sure.
You know, you or I could go out here and anything can happen to us,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So, but we believe if they stayed in that, they don't have a chance.
Right.
You know, and so if I was in jail and didn't have any money, and somebody came along and got me out, then I would be very grateful to that person. Now, one of the guys got the other day, the first time he had been in jail,
mm-hmm.
he got out, he said, well, I went to jail, got in jail last night, I prayed all night that somebody would get me out. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, somebody was touching him and got him out. And I said, that was the Lord touching you. So, yeah. You know, so those kind of stories. And one of them had 5 kids and hadn't seen them in 3 weeks and had a job.
And what was he in jail for?
It was like property, you know. I was living in a property. Maybe didn't have a place to live,
uh-huh.
you know, and that type of situation. I went through the list. And we just pick them out.
Yeah.
Okay, because I didn't know who's who, you know, but just doing some good deed and some good things.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more in there.
Do you meet with them first at all? Do you get a meeting with them and say, okay, here's what I'm going to do for you, but here's what I want you to promise me because I'm going to give you an opportunity? Or do you just take your chance, they deserve a second chance, and I'm going to hope for the best?
We just take our chance. We work with the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm.
We did get a chance to talk to them. As they came out for about 15 minutes, told them about my life story,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they can make it too.
Yeah.
You know, those type of things there. We offer help. We said, okay, we got a church in this area here. We had about, I think about 25 or 50 ministers there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And each pastor was there. And we let them know what area the church is in. So they go there and somebody need food to eat. I asked the pastors to let me know, take care of it. And if that be the case, if they didn't have the money, I would send it to them.
Yeah.
And take care of it.
And what about a place to stay? If some of these people need a place to stay, are the mm-hmm. churches helping out with that? Or how, because they're not necessarily a place to stay at the church, how can they help out with that?
We'll line that up at SOFA.
Okay.
We're asking them to help us out. We're also working with the shelter
mm-hmm.
in Chicago. About a month ago, I was at the shelter on the west side, 1800 West Harrison. It was about 370 people there. And we went there and we gave them a gift card, like $40 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And they come in and out. So we're working with the shelter along with the churches and trying to make sure we can get some type of foundation set for them.
Yeah.
We don't have all the answers yet.
Sure.
You know. But we're working on it, and we think we're gonna get that. When I was running for mayor of the city of Chicago and president of the United States, I was talking about, you know, prison reform.
Yeah.
So instead of talking about it, get out and do something about it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, you're putting your money where your mouth is, that's for sure. I don't know if that's reforming the prisons at all, but you're at least giving a second chance until the system gets corrected.
Right.
You're trying to do what you can do to mm-hmm. try to help out. You know, it's so interesting because we talk, you know, I do interviews for DNA Info, and so much of the stories in our neighborhoods, especially in certain neighborhoods in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
right now are about the shootings and about the police and about stop and frisk and should we be doing more and this and that. And so we have all these violent crimes being committed. And more than we've had in a long time, right? We're doubling from last year with the shootings and everything else. And yet we still have all these other people who are at risk, who are committing maybe a minor crime,
mm-hmm.
but are poor, and so they can't get out of jail. And, you know, we mentioned in the story somebody who maybe commits a very minor crime, and it's only like a $200 bond, but they don't have it, they can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So they might sit in jail for up to 2 years
mm-hmm.
waiting for their trial. And you have to think that if you spend 2 years in jail, no matter how innocent you are, when mm-hmm. you come out of there, I would think, and I don't have any evidence to back this up, but that you are very likely to commit another crime because you just had to survive 2 years in a very rough time, right?
Well, rough time. And see, once you get these records on you, it's pretty tough because you can't get a job even after you know, in there for a while. So you come out of there, you got the record, you can't get a job. It's a tough situation, right? And we got to change it and everything. I believe it end up to be economic empowerment would take care of a lot of these issues.
Yeah.
You know, out here, but the certain neighborhood just doesn't get the dollars, the resources as maybe like downtown in certain areas, you know, to help them to make it.
Yeah.
You know, but they can make it, and we're going to set up a well, we have a website.
Let's take a quick break, and then I want to find out if people want to help out, because you put in $50,000 yourself, but you want to get to $100,000. You'd like people to match that $50,000. And I know that the pastors at this meeting yesterday threw in $5,000 right away.
Right.
But if our listeners want to help, I want to find out how they can do that too. 312-981-7200. Quick break. More with Dr. Willie Wilson next on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN. Dr. Willie Wilson's in studio with us. He's got a program where he's trying to help minor offenders get out of jail. Guys who, and women, I imagine, but I'm guessing it's mostly guys,
right? Yeah, well, both, yeah.
Mostly. Mm-hmm. People who are in jail on minor crimes, nonviolent offenses, who can't afford the $100 or $200 to get out of jail and are going to sit there for a year or more, possibly waiting for a court date, which, as you can imagine, is only going to lead to a much tougher time for them to get out and get back on the right track when they can finally get free. If you want to donate to the cause, as we were saying before the break, Dr. Wilson has put up $50,000 of his own money, and he's reaching out to other people to help out with this. You'd like to raise $100,000 altogether to get at least 100 people out for Thanksgiving, and hopefully more. Mm-hmm. If you want to give, you can text 312-818-4975. The number is 312-818-4975. Text the word give, and then there'll be prompts to direct you along, and you can donate money. He thinks tomorrow the website should be up, drwilliewilsonfoundation.org, but to get any information from you at any time, just like you on Facebook, Willie
That's
Wilson, right? Find you on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can do that. Let's talk a little bit. There's two Chicagos.
Yeah.
There's the Chicago here on the Magnificent Mile and River North and Lincoln Park and everywhere. And there's Inglewood and Woodlawn and all the other areas on the south side. I think it's really two Chicagos that we have here, because there's people living different lives than what I get to lead. And we talk a lot about stop and frisk is a big phrase right now after the debate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Chicago police made an agreement with the ACLU about a year ago, and they switched to these contact cards. The police were stopping thousands of people, just stopping and chatting with them, frisking them, doing whatever. And then the ACLU was going to sue, and there was going to be probably a settlement. So they made this agreement with the ACLU, switched to these contact cards, which are about 2 pages long. It's a lot of paperwork, up to a half an hour for a police officer after he stops someone. The incidences of police stopping people have dropped an insanely large amount. It's very different now. And so the ACLU would say, well, and we're protecting people's civil rights. They shouldn't just stop anybody they want at any time for no reason. There should be a reason for it. And which I think everybody on the surface can agree with. Since that change has been made, shootings have skyrocketed here in Chicago. Now, you could say, well, there's 18 different reasons, and that's probably true. But if it boiled down to, if we went back to this other way, and there's arguments against it. New York City, they switched, and shootings didn't go way up. So they'd say, no, it's not stop and frisk. That's not the deal. But here, you start thinking about all the things that have happened, and are the police getting less engaged where they need to be because of fears over fallout from how they handle their business or the paperwork or the ACLU or everything else. How do you think about how the police are handling things and how the community is handling things here in Chicago right now?
Well, listen, there's obvious some problems, some issues, right? My situation, my belief is this here. I still think it comes down to economic empowerment. Invest into certain neighborhood. Empowerment. People get jobs. People have money to feed their family, right?
Yeah.
A lot of this will go away. Now, let's say stop and frisk, okay? Stopping people for no reason at all on one side of the town, on the other side of the town, they don't do it. That's unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Things haven't gotten any better, you know, because this violent contingent that goes on. The policemen, the announcements, we got cell phones and video, catch them and everything.
Sure.
They shooting people for the wrong reason and killing people for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
All right? Which been going on a long time. So the community continually to get upset and you continue to have these problems is not going to stop.
Right.
Right? The way you stop it, in my opinion, create economic empowerment, invest into those communities, you know, make them a lot better, right? Downtown Chicago, look, everything nice. No red light cameras downtown Chicago. You go outside, at least I haven't found one yet, All right.
I think I've got nailed by a couple, so they're here somewhere. They're
I'm
here.
In the downtown. I haven't found one downtown yet, all right? But you go on this side of town, that side of town, all uh-huh. right? They get tickets, all right? They come to jail. What else they get? They don't pay for it because they ain't got the money. They get locked up, yeah. and they get put in jail, all right? Taxpayer got to, you know, pay their right. dollars, all right? right? I'm now trying to help get them out.
Yeah.
It's a cycle that continues go round and round and round, all right? But then you got to be fair to all human beings. And then when communities see things like that, they react in a positive way.
Yeah.
Look, when I drive, well, Dad, tell you something. Police stop me. I got concerns, you know?
Yeah.
Now, look, I think, look, I come downtown, live downtown. Police look at me and stop me. I don't even move. Put my hands on my steering wheel. Let's stay there, all right, until they ask questions very careful. But on the other side of town, they can stop. Not too many questions, only if you run a red light or something,
yeah.
you know? But so I think you got to be economic empowerment and fairness. Anybody can see that regardless of what color you are. There should never be two cities within one
yeah.
and with different rules and regulation. You can never find anything right about that.
Let me ask you something. In a lot of the videos that we see, because you said you get pulled over, your hands are up on the wheel because you're concerned. You know that as a black man, things could go wrong quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfair. But that is life right now, right?
It is.
In a lot of the videos we see, it's wrong that the black men are getting shot, right? It
mm-hmm.
is. But they don't have their hands up. I mean, it's very it happens too, but... But in a lot of these, we see where they're telling him stop, stop, and then they're going to the car or something's happening. This happens, I imagine, with white people, too, and other people, and maybe the cops aren't as quick to pull the trigger. But there needs to be more training for police. There also needs to be people need to, and maybe it's to the point where there's a lot of African-American men who feel like, I'm really in danger here, so I'm not just going to stand like this because I'm afraid of what's going to happen. But do you see that, too, in these videos? I think a lot of people who feel bad for the cops in some instances, and the cops need better training. There's no doubt about that. There needs to be a lot done. But the people they are talking to aren't listening to what they're asking for, and that makes them nervous. And then they end up shooting. Now, that's no excuse for what happened to Laquan McDonald. That's
right.
just on the other side of the world ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he had shot him once, there'd be arguments for, well, this is why this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Emptying your revolver is what boils everything over into what the hell is going on mm-hmm. here. Why did that have to happen? Well, it didn't have to happen. That's rogue insanity. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these instances, the police are at fault, bad training, bad cop, whatever in these instances. But you also wish that, why did that person go back to the truck? Why did they get back inside? Why didn't they just stand there and, you know, and let it play out?
Well, you know, look at this here. Police stopped me outside. Stopped the average African-American person.
Mm-hmm.
They're frightened.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. Because all those things that have not been reported, now finally caught on video.
Yeah.
We've been knowing this all along, been going through.
Yeah.
Right? So when you stop, it's just like you got a kid. If you're a kid, do something wrong, you're going to spank that kid. The kid going to go into panic.
Yeah.
The average African-American, not only in Chicago, but around the country, panic. Include me. Okay? But they're not doing it nowhere else, right? Then also, the problem isn't that some of the politicians, some of the policing are covered for wrongdoing. A lot of them haven't even been convicted.
Yeah.
You know? That's another issue within itself. You got bad police, white or black, and you got good white and black.
Sure.
We need police officer, but we need people who are going to follow the law and abide by the law
yeah.
and to be equal with the law.
Yeah.
And unless you do that, there are issues. And when I leave out here now, let me tell you what, if the police stop me here or if they stop me on the south side or anywhere I go, okay, there is concern right away. If I ran a red light, if I didn't run a red light, you know.
You've got in the back of your mind. You're worried about this.
Right. So those things there, that we have to fix it, especially when we see that some of the politicians and police get together and they always end up seeming to be right all the time.
Yeah. So you've seen too many instances where you've seen the video and then they're not convicted. And you're like, wait a minute. I just watched that, right? What are we not seeing that everybody else is seeing?
Yeah. I mean, like, look.
The system seems rigged.
How many times you can shoot a person on the street 16 or 20 times and still figure they're not dead, all right? And then the other police officer saying they came out with a knife.
Yeah.
You know, and then the other police officer, including the mayor, don't want to release the video.
Yeah.
I mean, so what's what? But it just Chicago, the rest of the world, rest of the country, you have to bring in, do something different.
Yeah.
Things continue to go up. The other thing was this. The budget was passed the other day, raised taxes. All these taxes that they raised, they hired, I believe it was 500 police officers, mm-hmm. and they done some other things. But none of the dollars was put into the inner city that got a problem for economic empowerment.
Well, you know what the problem is, Dr. Wilson, I would say is they're all great ideas. What you're saying, they're generational improvements.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. the mayor needs to get reelected in 2 years. So what's going to get him reelected? 500 more cops on the street, not 5 years from now, a factory is going to be built that's going to have 500 jobs, and we're going to put this money into education in the future. All people look at right now is what are the numbers right now? And mm-hmm. that's the tough part, I think, for politicians or anybody is everything you're talking about, let's put more money in, let's do that. That needs to be done, and that's going to help hopefully 10 years from now. They want to say what's going to happen tomorrow that's going to make this look better so that I can get reelected.
I agree with you what is taking place. This is an economic thing, but don't make it right, and the place won't ever get right until you decide to think and start doing things right. The person on the street who may not have education, who maybe be a bum, know when they're being treated right or wrong.
Yeah. Dr. Willie Wilson, he's putting his money where his mouth is, $50,000 in. You can help donate to help out some people get out of jail in time for Thanksgiving. I'll explain how you can do that right after the news. Thank you so much for coming in. I
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it. Matt Bubala with you on 720 WGN.